Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 117. Johnny should have vlogged that. Hey, welcome back, buddy.
Thanks.
So Johnny's back, as you can hear.
I'm back.
He's back. You awake?
Yeah, I'm awake.
You worked today.
I did.
I worked today.
I worked last night. Worked this morning.
Anyway, well, hey, welcome back. We missed you last week.
Thanks.
When we were talking about all the stuff we talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we went over the Orville and the Gifted again and Inhumans.
Yeah, I need to catch up with, on that. Now that I'm guys. Back, I need to catch up on everything. So
I didn't think Inhumans could get worse.
Oh, yeah?
It got worse.
All right.
Anyway, but yet I still watched it.
Yeah, well.
All the way until the end.
Like we said, it's eight episodes.
But
I've watched worse. Yeah. I have watched worse.
There's been worse, but not much.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So this week we have kind of an easy week. We're gonna talk about all the new trailers that have come out since you've been gone. Which there were some doozies.
Yeah, I had to watch The Last Jedi on a phone.
Yeah.
So.
and then we'll talk about your trip, because there was some pretty cool stuff, and mm-hmm. You know, it's always fun to talk about Disney World when you get back. All right. So we'll just start with Justice League.
Yeah.
One, what did you think?
I didn't have a problem with it. I think.
Did you have a problem with any of the other Justice League ones?
Not really.
Okay.
I like that they showed Steppenwolf.
Right.
Like, you know, quickly, but
right.
I think that Momoa is going to steal the show.
Yeah.
I think Aquaman, that character is going to steal the show, and that just from the trailers and that. So I liked it, and I liked that, you know, it did show Cyborg in action, and
right.
The Flash in action, less Wonder Woman because obviously she had her own movie this year.
Right.
Less Batman because he's Batman.
Right, right.
And, you know, Aquaman was there, but it's like, you know, there was enough of Aquaman that you're like, yeah, he's going to steal the show, but not so much that you're like, that's too much Aquaman.
Right.
This might be the first time that Aquaman will be cool.
Yeah. I'm warming up to Ezra Miller.
Yeah,
over
yeah.
the last couple trailers.
Yeah.
I like this trailer a lot, to the point on Sunday.
Yeah.
We watched Batman versus Superman.
Oh, okay.
Which is the first time.
I haven't watched it since I've seen it in the theater.
It was the first time since we saw it in the theater. The funny thing is when Angel didn't watch the whole thing, but what she saw, she goes, now I understand why people liked Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Because she didn't like Wonder Woman.
Right.
But I liked the trailer. I saw a lot of people online saying, like, oh, you could feel Joss Whedon's input on this. And it's like, no, it's still very
really.
Much a, it's still very much
I
a Zack Snyder thing.
The opening of the trailer with the dream.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was a cool, like, ha-ha, fooled you moment. Because I was like, wait a minute, Superman's dead? And then I'm like, well, but Superman could come back.
And so that was part of the problem, though, remember, with Batman v Superman, is sometimes he entered that dream sequence where it's like, is this a dream or is this real? Like the bats.
Right.
You know?
But I like that it was Lois and that, you know, he's like, I like the ring and that. And I'm like,
so
then
I guess
I'm
that's
like,
a
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, this is a dream at that point. I'm like,
but so you're telling me it's a yes.
But it was nice to see, you know, him smiling.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Superman actually.
Well, and
smiling.
That was the big thing about this one is everyone has that moment where they smile.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Aquaman seems to have been smiling the entire time.
He's brooding until he becomes part of the Justice League.
Right.
And then he's like, hell yeah!
Until he's fighting parademons, and he's
well,
all
that's,
happy.
Well, that's what makes him happy, you know?
And the Flash has been, you know, happy-ish.
The Flash is the fish out of water, obviously. The Cyborg
Aquaman's literally the fish out of water.
Right,
he's the figurative fish out of water.
But it's the thing where Cyborg seems like he might be the brooding, I don't know if I should be part of this team person.
I don't feel
I do
like we've
like
seen
that,
enough.
That he's flying.
Yeah.
And that's cool looking. So, you know.
He's getting his Iron Man on.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm still concerned about this color palette. You know, just the dark. Like,
it
looks like everything's on fire. Which,
well, at certain points, that'll make sense.
And,
I mean,
and I'm hoping they're kind of on Apocalypse or something. Or maybe part
right,
of
yeah,
Earth
that's what I'm saying. Or,
set
like,
up,
you know.
Because.
Or maybe Steppenwolf is in something's like turned
right.
it into an apocalyptic.
Well, because we know the Amazons have a mother box.
The Amazons do. The Atlanteans do.
Cyborg is a mother box.
Well, there's three mother boxes that are actually in play, and one of them is on Themyscira, one's in Atlantis, and then the other one, I guess, is...
It's Cyborg.
Somewhere. No, it's just somewhere... It's the human one, is what they call it.
Okay.
You get, there's two figures at Walmart that are exclusives. Walmart exclusives.
Okay.
That have the mother boxes in them.
Okay.
A Batman has one half of each mother box, and a Cyborg has the other half of the mother box. And a Cyborg with the battle plate down.
Yeah.
So it looks cool. And the Batman's painted different. So, you know, at least they painted him different.
Yeah. It's a repaint Batman. So.
What Batman is not a repaint?
None. the first one that came out like 15 years ago.
Well, at least they look like Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
The ones that came out with, what was it, Batman versus Superman? The first few did not look like Ben Affleck. Right. They the heads were like way too small for the bodies.
Yeah.
So at least like the ones for Justice League, it looks like Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
So I'm like, at least you did that right.
Yeah. I'm going into this with guarded expectations.
Sure. Yeah. It's not one where you're like, I'm not going into it with the dread that I already was going into Batman versus Superman.
Right. I don't have that. I think people are giving Joss Whedon already way too much credit.
Not Warner Brothers, because they gave the directing credit is going to Zack Snyder.
Well, that so the directing credit, Warner Brothers doesn't get to decide that.
Well, right.
It's the Directors MPAA, Guild of America. Right, yeah. So Joss Whedon obviously didn't do enough. It's like to look at like Han Solo or Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yeah.
Ron Howard has been shooting for 4 months.
Right, yeah.
They threw out everything Lord Miller did.
Right.
They reshot the entire movie.
Yeah, it wasn't like Rogue One where parts of that are...
Well, and Gareth Edwards did... So the stuff that Gareth Edwards didn't do...
Yeah.
Was just like... It was battle like a second team director's unit. Like, you know, of course he's still going to
get... stuff
on
Scarif and
he's going to get the whole movie. But, you know, and with Whedon, he didn't go in... He didn't go and do the wholesale changes like
that. I
want
to put a challenge out to you...
To me.
And to everybody listening.
To the Infominions?
Yes. There you go. The Infomites.
You said Infominions last time.
Infominions is
fine. I kind of like that.
The Infominities. If you have the spare time... In a day or whatever...
Yeah.
Watch Godzilla... Gareth Edwards Godzilla.
Sure.
And then watch Rogue One. It's the same movie.
Is it?
It is exactly the same movie.
Okay.
I did it one day and I was like sitting there going, this is almost got the same beats to it.
Huh.
Jyn Erso and
Kick-Ass,
Quicksilver. I was gonna say Quicksilver. Both kids at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
Moms die. Dads kinda lose it.
Okay.
Dads eventually die.
Yeah.
You know,
man, I gotta
Death Star Mutos.
I want to start that Dads and Fridges website, man. Like, honestly, like I get the whole thing. Like I appreciate, you know, Gail Simone's, you know, women in fridges thing because it's true. But like, way more
How many
dads
women
get
died
killed.
In fridges.
Just
How many?
One. Alexandra
one.
DeWitt. Because Major
Before
Force.
Gail Simone was ever part of a comic book.
I get it. But
so more, why does that matter?
Well, I don't know. But more dads get fridged than any other like archetype in all of literature.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just being
indignant. I'm like, I don't understand that. It's like most women in comic books get crippled.
Yeah.
They get gimped somehow. And I'm not being mean.
No.
I'm being honest. Ever since Barbara Gordon was shot by the Joker,
that was
put
like
in
the
a wheelchair,
big thing to do after that.
Everybody got a leg broke, an arm broke, or both legs broke.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you know?
Yep. All right.
Batman got his back broken. They fixed it. And why can't we get everybody's back fixed? You know?
I mean, Professor X walks, doesn't walk. I mean, he's been able to
walk
and
thing
been
about
re-crippled
it is, in
like
the Marvel Universe, Tony Stark can build armor that makes anybody fly and be superheroes. Why can't he build like armor that makes people walk that can't walk?
Yeah. He'd even be a bigger
villain. Too busy fighting all these supervillains all the time?
He's too drunk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tipping the bottle.
Anyway. All right. So just let's say we'll rate these like 1 to 5 of like how excited are you to well, there's four movies. Out of the four, so between this one, Star Wars, New Mutants, Black Panther, like
which one am I most excited for?
Yeah, which
do you
one
want me to
based
do it before
these,
we talk about them? Or?
We'll do it after, but okay. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. All right. So moving on to Star Wars.
It's already obvious.
Well, yeah. I'm pretty sure everyone's going to be able to pick almost exactly what our orders are, but because I'm pretty sure they're different, but not by much. I think it's just the flip-flop of a movie or two. Star Wars The Last Jedi trailer. This was some goddamn trickery when it came to trailers.
Why?
Well, one, the scene where... Rey's like, I need to find my place, and then it's Kylo's hand reaching out. Two different scenes from two very different parts of the movie. Yeah. And, and it's fine with that. Like, I love that idea. And the whole idea that he's gonna, like, you know, shoot Leia.
He's not gonna shoot
Leia. Yeah, he's not gonna shoot Leia. He had daddy issues. He didn't have mommy issues. And I don't think
so. Is
even if
Snoke
Carrie had
Jedi welder or
Force wielder,
or was he using some machine?
Who knows? That was a cool scene.
Yeah,
because it was just a glimpse of part of it.
That might
you saw the Praetorian Guard,
the whole thing with the him being a clone of Palpatine.
Well,
yeah.
I really
think that's what that is. Why he looks so damaged and why he is, you know, stretched out a little bit.
Well, and the fact that in the games and stuff and in the new canon books, there are the androids with Palpatine's face running around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, that's in Battle. Is that Battlefront?
The new Battlefront 2. Yeah. It has that, but it's in the Aftermath books.
Oh, it's actually in some of those books.
In the last one, Empire's End.
Yeah.
Like that version of the Android Palpatine is directly responsible for sending spoilers. Rey Sloan and Brendel Hux out to create a new version of the Empire.
Oh, okay.
Which is the First Order.
Right.
So I told you I read Phasma.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, I have a whole, between that and the comic, I have a whole new appreciation for Phasma.
Okay.
Like, she may be the biggest villain ever in Star Wars.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because she's an asshole.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, this trailer did a lot. It showed a lot of new footage.
But it was all bait and switch footage.
And there was a lot of bait and switch footage. I loved the scene with Chewie and the Porg.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That opening scene where Rey, like, you know, she's in the training mode and you know, she swings the saber around and stops short. You know she's cut into that thing a whole bunch of times.
Right.
That's why it's,
it's the way it is.
It's the way it is. Luke can't just help but be a whiny bitch, can he?
I've seen this power before.
Yeah.
And it scared me.
It was at Tosche Station and I couldn't get to it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see the flashback more of... what happened with the Knights of Ren?
Yeah,
and you know all that—the massacre, I would say, of the Jedi,
the new Jedi Order, or
the
whatever
Jedi Academy.
Yeah. Well, is that canon?
That's not canon now because that was part of the
whole... It's Legends.
Yeah,
but
they can use it. They can use anything they want. Tag and Bink are going to be in Solo.
That's
so
pretty funny.
Yeah,
but no, seeing Finn squaring off against Phasma was cool.
Yeah.
No Rose.
Yeah.
No DJ. Laura Ezra? Dern hasn't been...
Ezra Miller?
Well, maybe. Who knows? Laura Dern hasn't been seen since...
Laura Dern put up a picture of
thing.
Her character.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There was a bit of her in the first like teaser trailer. Yeah. And in the FX reel from Celebration.
Yeah.
But still no Laura Dern.
That's fine.
So... I'm excited. They haven't
showing that stuff because there's spoilers with that stuff.
Well, it's too. And the thing is
how about the X-wing with the giant rocket pack on the back?
Yeah,
of it? Yeah.
That I want that. make that a toy, please.
So did Poe when he got it.
Yeah, he's like, ooh. He was like, Poe's just salivating.
My X-wing's not fast enough. I need some boost to it.
I did like So this is why I like BB-8.
Yeah.
Like it was just that little scene we saw of him in this trailer. he's getting electrocuted and he just shakes it off.
Shakes it off.
Like, having that head be able to move like right. that just adds a whole level of like personality to that droid. Yeah. And, you know, this is coming from a guy whose favorite Star Wars character is R2-D2.
Right.
It's just cool to see. I mean, because they did a lot. Like, you know, Kenny Baker was able to do a lot sure. as R2 from within
the emoting of the stuff.
The droid there. But, you know, the whole thing with BB-8 just takes uh-huh. it to another level.
Yeah.
And that the fact that they have so many versions of him that they can do things with is pretty cool. The opening scene with the AT-ATs, the gorilla. AT-ATs or whatever they're called.
Right.
And I don't know if you noticed, Aaron pointed this out to me last week, is they had the regular AT-ATs in there.
Really?
For size, for reference. They're like four times bigger.
Well, yeah, they're more of a weapon than they are like, I mean.
It's not just a troop carrier.
It's not a transport. It's a straight up weapon. It's got a cannon on the top of it.
So, and it looks like they shored up some of the like the issues with like the joints and things like that where it was easy to attack.
Well, it looks like the front has tank treads on it, mm-hmm. so, you know, to hold stabilization a little bit more.
But it was a great trailer. I'm now on media blackout.
So do you think that Kylo and Rey are gonna like join together? No, they're gonna join together and like take over the universe.
I don't know.
They'll bring balance to the Force.
They could. So, there was an interesting theory that John Campion talked about on his Star Wars show the other day about. Maybe the power that Luke's talking about was his own at
maybe.
Some point.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot like left in the air, which is great. And I'm excited to see what Rian Johnson has done.
Sure.
And the fact that I like Rian Johnson as much as I do.
Right.
And I'm a big fan of Looper. Like, I know that's
sure.
that's not maybe like the most popular thing to say, but I really liked Looper.
It's not a bad movie.
All right. So moving on.
The worst thing about Looper is the makeup. The makeup on Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You didn't have to do that.
No, they could have just left it. And
right. You didn't have to make him look like Bruce Willis. Yeah. You could have just, you know, said that he
just give him both like a scar
right,
or something. The same scar. Yeah. You don't have to put that prosthetic.
Put a patch on their eye or something. Come on.
Eye patch.
Yeah.
All right.
Or have him have Bruce Willis wear the eye patch and had Joseph Gordon-Levitt lose the eye at some point.
Whatever. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm definitely like, I thought this was a great, just, you know,
tease.
Yeah. All right. So the New Mutants, this one kind of came almost out of nowhere. It was all of a sudden they're like, hey, we have a trailer. It's going to land at midnight.
Yeah.
And, I stayed up to watch it.
We finished.
Yeah. We're done. You know, you see Sunspot, you see Eliana, you see, Danny, you get the Wolfsbane in there. You get
you
a couple
much
shots
see
of Moonstar.
Everybody, don't you?
You see, you get to see them all.
But if you don't know who they are, then you don't know.
Right, and it's not necessarily the original like group.
Looks.
Well, it's not the original looks for sure because they had the yellow and blue jumpsuits. Now, the other thing is around this time. So when the New Mutants came about, like kind of right around that time was when Professor X, it's one of the times he faked his own death and took off into space with the bird lady.
The bird lady?
I forget her
name. Lilandra?
Thank you.
Magistrix?
Yes.
Of the Shi'ar Empire?
But he left them in charge
she's
with
dead
Magneto.
Now, isn't she?
Yeah, she's been dead for a while. Magneto was in charge of the Xavier School.
Yeah, that was during that,
And it was for a good chunk of the New Mutants run until...
The purple suit Magneto.
It was. It was when he was a good guy. And he was debating back and forth if he should be a good guy or not, or if he was doing right by these kids. So Michael Fassbender or Ian McKellen need to... I think probably Michael Fassbender.
Show up in this?
Need to show up.
Fassbender makes sense. I mean, you know... The movie kind of
has
had an
80s,
90s vibe to it.
Well, it would be the 90s.
Right.
You know, but anyway, the comments about this were great because nobody knows anything about the New Mutants.
Right, yeah.
Like, there's, you know, and I'm not like, you know, I love the book.
Right.
I'm more of a just my thing straight was, X I was fan
like,
than
I'm like, this looks cool if they're doing it as kind of a horror.
It has to be the setup for the demon bear. Yeah. It just has
and
to.
And I'm like, you know, I didn't know about the demon bear until I went and like researched it. Like you should if you want to know stuff. But I was like, it looks really cool. Like we watched it and I was like, it's cool that they're mutants, but I'm like, if this is a horror movie, this is even better. Right. I'm like, because it's totally not anything we've seen before. And I'm like, and it's the idea of what happens in the Marvel Cinematic Universe where each movie is a different genre.
Right. That would be thing. Great.
And I'm like, if this is like a scary X-Men movie, like, you know, there's actually terror going on.
So when you
this will be cool.
And when you look at this group of kids, right? Like, they have a bunch of different powers. And
sure.
So Danny Moonstar, Mirage.
Right.
Later on, she's a Valkyrie, right? But her initial power set is essentially she can isolate your biggest fear and make you relive it.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's boiled down. That's, like, the most simplest explanation.
But that would make sense for certain
but
sequences
so
you
that's
see
what's
in the
happening.
Trailer.
Like, I think what it is when the whole demon bear thing happens, they return to her hometown,
right?
And there's a bunch of stuff that goes on, so I really do think they're setting that up.
They might be.
There's no way,
or that might be what the movie is, and right. It's just taking place in a psychological hospital, right. And it is. It's
well, and I don't think they're
bear.
In a psychological hospital.
I think
that's
part of the nightmare.
I think it's part of the nightmare, and
which I mean,
they could very well be at
the
in you know Westchester,
right?
At the you know the school for gifted youngsters,
right.
I'm so excited for this.
Yeah.
Just, you know, my only problem is Sam Guthrie, Cannonball.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that kid has
who
the right
cast?
Look.
I don't
He's
even
some
know.
Some British kid.
Oh, okay.
But Sam Guthrie's just this good old boy.
Yeah.
And the kid's just a little too pretty.
Oh, okay.
You know, and it's nothing like, you know, and like, I'm not like, oh God, he's going to be awful. You know, it's just kind of, that's the one thing
well,
that kind of takes me out.
Bane. Can switch back and forth, right?
Yeah.
So that we might get to see Maisie as a
as Nymeria
creature.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, there you go.
So they'll just take the Nymeria.
Yeah.
Well, and like Wolfsbane gets to a point where she just kind of lives like half human,
yeah,
half
she's
wolf.
She's like looks like a werewolf
because it's just kind of easier to you know not fight both sides. But no, this looks really really cool.
It's funny. Game of Thrones people are either showing up in Marvel movies or Star Wars movies.
Yeah. So
they have nothing better to do. Get married.
Yeah.
That was what? Did you
two
see that?
Oh, that prank?
No. What that, prank?
Okay. Well, cuz Jon Snow, Kit Harington and Rose Leslie got engaged and then Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas. Or
yeah.
John Jonas.
Joe Jonas.
I think. Yeah, got engaged. Which is great. Right, you know, awesome for them. No. Kit Harington played an April Fool's prank on Rose Leslie.
Okay.
Where he took the severed head of one of the dead Jon Snows and left it in the refrigerator on April Fool's Day.
Oh, nice.
And she opened the fridge and freaked out.
Sure.
Well, I guess in his family, April Fool's is a big thing.
Right.
And according to him and her family, not so much. And she said, if you ever do anything like that again,
yeah,
I'm out of here. I mean, you know, it was like,
sure, yeah,
that's terrifying to open the fridge and see, you know,
your boyfriend's head in
there. Yeah. She was holding a Brita pitcher, you know.
Yeah.
And she said it like she was freaking out, but she didn't drop it.
Right.
She actually, like, he was like, look, she saved it. But you know, you're right. We're seeing them.
Yeah,
you know, but like it's coming to an end. We're
well,
obviously going to see
with
these
Game
people
of Thrones
in a lot
ending,
more stuff.
It's like it makes sense that you know they don't do really bad Pompeii type movies,
starring Kit Harington's abs.
Well, that movie's very disjointed, so it's just one
I didn't
of those
even
ones
bother
where,
with
oh,
it.
I watched it. Yeah. It wasn't like anything that really like made you go, ooh, I want to watch that again.
Speaking of Pompeii,
yeah.
Did you watch the season premiere of Legends?
No, I haven't had a chance to watch any of
it. So Julius Caesar is on it.
Yeah, you told me.
Played
that
by the guy who played Marcus Crassus on Spartacus, which was just so funny.
He looks that role.
He does.
Yeah.
He's so, very, very Roman looking.
It's kind of like, you know, Liam McIntyre doesn't look the same as he did on Spartacus because he's lost a lot of.
He's not.
But then it's like you look at Manu Bennett. It's if they said we're gonna do Crix's show,
yeah,
it's like he literally could walk on set and be fine because he still looks the same as he did.
Right.
And I mean, you know, he's a bigger guy anyway. Oh, yeah. So,
all right. So the last movie. And then we'll talk about the Punisher trailer because we just watched it before we went on air. The Black Panther.
Yeah.
This was a much better trailer.
Well, I mean, this is the trailer. It's going to be on Thor, obviously. Yeah. So,
the first trailer was good. You know, and at no point have I this been like, oh, I'm not interested in that movie. This one gave you
more an idea of what Wakanda is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I almost wish they called this movie Wakanda.
The World of Wakanda would have been good. Yeah.
Would have been a cool one. I get it, Black Panther.
If they would have done it, Black Panther, The World of Wakanda. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been cool.
If that's the subtitle.
Yeah.
Freaking Michael B. Jordan, man.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yep.
Like, that kid can just act.
Well, I'm glad that they got him in this after Fantastic Four. And,
well, yeah. Well, this is his, like, Chris Evans moment, right?
Right, yeah.
Where Chris Evans was in a couple crappy Fantastic Four movies, and now he's, you know, what people think of when they think of Captain America.
I thought it was so funny. The movie poster popped up the same time, and I seen a comment from somebody that said, at least the only two white people on the poster are Frodo and
Bilbo and
Smeagol. And I was like, that's just a great comment, because it's like, oh yeah, I didn't even think about it.
I was shocked we got as much Martin Freeman as we did in this trailer. Yeah. So I'm assuming he's going to play a little bigger role in the movie than I think
he's
going to
play a bigger role in Infinity War.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
do you think Sebastian Stan shows up other than an end credit?
The stinger is all I think he'll be. Yeah.
Where they rebuild the arm, you know, with vibranium.
Or they grow the arm or whatever. Ooh, yeah.
Cool. So,
the Black Panther suits was cool.
Yeah.
His sister being there was cool. It's like you're hitting every mark that the Black Panther has. It's like, you know, claw and everything.
Well, there was a funny meme today, too. It was like a little orange cat and a little black cat fighting each other. And it's like what normal people see. And then it's what Marvel fans see.
Right.
And it was the, you know. But yeah, it looks great. I mean, Ryan Coogler is a great director.
Yeah.
So, like, I have tons of faith in him. You know, I'm kind of bummed he's not coming back for Creed 2.
Yeah.
But Sly,
you know.
If anybody loves Rocky, it's Sylvester Stallone.
Right.
So that's in good hands. But, no, I'm excited to see what Coogler does with this.
Right.
And, like, hopefully he's setting up, like, a multi...
Another Black Panther after Infinity War.
You know, a third one. It's funny. Like, Chadwick Boseman is almost kind of... Yeah, and he's almost the weak link, and he's not. You know, I mean, like, it's just stacked.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is probably like acting wise.
Yeah.
This is probably the most stacked cast like Marvel's brought
out.
Yeah. So,
I mean, this is one of their stronger casted movies.
Yeah.
And that, so you know, Angela Bassett is his mother. It's like sold.
Yep.
Yeah.
So she's going to teach Black Panther how to get his groove back.
I love her from Stranger Day.
Strange Days. Her and Ralph Fiennes. The chemistry her and Ralph Fiennes had in that movie was killer.
That's a Catherine Bigelow movie that is probably the second, like, I think Near Dark probably is one that people have not seen more. Yeah. Like Strange Days shows up on cable all the time or DirecTV and all that type of stuff. It shows up on a network of some sort. Near Dark doesn't show up enough, and those two movies are ones that people don't talk about enough. When they talk about Catherine Bigelow, they're always talking about Hurt Locker and, you know, stuff like that. It's like, if you want to see Catherine Bigelow being good, like really good, go watch her early stuff.
Yeah, innovative.
Because then you realize that she's better than you ever thought she was.
Oh, yeah.
Because Near Dark is like,
Near Dark's a good one.
A really good one. And then Strange Days is just, you know, because of what it was and the subject matter and the time and everything, it's like, She did a really great job on that.
Dude, I was all in on Strange Days. Like, I had, like, the CD-ROMs and that kind of stuff. And
I seen that in the theater.
But yeah, I saw that one in the theater, too.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Catherine Bigelow's greatest film of all time is Point Break. So there's really no argument.
And see, that's the thing is, like, you know, Point Break's been seen a lot. And it's one of those ones where, you know. But
it's
Strange
one of the
Days
most rewatchable
Dark,
world.
Yeah.
Point Break is probably
Strange Days is very rewatchable.
It's rewatchable. Yeah. And like you said, it's like really applicable to today right now, too, with the whole 1984 type thing we have going on.
Yep. Well, and just plugging in and everything else. And Near Dark's just a really good, timeless movie.
Yeah.
Like it could take place. That's one of those movies where you feel like it could have taken place at any point.
Yeah.
You know, if there weren't cars in it, it's still a Western.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know.
Well, and so, like, that's an interesting point because that's what this Black Panther movie looks like.
Yeah.
It could take place at any point in the MCU where, you know, it's
they should have done a flashback
timeless.
With a Captain America, Black Panther during World War II type
cool.
thing. That would have been cool.
But then, like, how did they retcon Steve not remembering him?
Yeah. You know. So, anyway. That's what I mean. It's like, you know, that would have been a cool. I don't know. We'll see.
Anyway. All right. So of these four, what's your order? Like most excited to least excited?
Obviously Star Wars.
Yeah.
And that probably Black Panther, Justice League, and then New Mutants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? New Mutants is last?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I go Star Wars.
Right.
New Mutants, Black
right.
Panther,
yeah,
Justice
I knew
League.
What yours was, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's
well,
really,
Black Panther's
no,
a character
see.
That I like
I like
a
Black
lot.
Panther.
I mean, you know, as a... reading Avengers before there was ever Avengers movies, Black Panther was always one of those ones where you're like the mystery of the character and all that and just the adventure of the character because he was one of the more like adventurous, you know, out in the world, not just fighting, you know, Galactus supervillain type stuff. He was fighting people that were trying to
he was fighting for something not
well he was
something
yeah he was trying to defend his land
right
from you know Claw and Manape and all that because I thought I seen Manape in the preview and I'm like
I was looking
look like Manape but I'm like you even if you pause it it's pixelated because he's in that
well
group.
Manape's in the movie
well he's in that group with Michael B. Jordan and that and that's what I'm like that looked like Manape but it don't look like it looks like a what
he's
an
not,
MCU man ape
yeah
would
he's
look
not
like.
In like
right.
an ape costume
right
or anything like that but
so I'm like yeah that's cool
yeah so I like my liking of Black Panther is more tied to the X universe too
right.
like
yeah.
especially like the more recent stuff with Storm and and I the thing I like most about Black Panther is his just contentious relationship with Namor
right
and I'm kind of hoping at some point Marvel gets those rights figured
out. Namor in there?
And can bring... Because that's the logical place to introduce him is in like
a
second Black Panther movie. All right. So we talked about it in a little bit. Punisher.
Yeah.
Right before we went on air, we watched the trailer. It just came out a couple hours ago. What is it? November 17th.
Yes.
13 episodes. This was the best trailer yet, maybe for any of the Netflix shows.
Well, this one shows that it's going to be more of his backstory and gives you the idea that, yeah, he's going to have a story. It's not just him killing people.
Which
all over
I'm
the place.
So, so thankful for. Because
and it
there's
explains
no way
why
I
there's 13
watched.
Episodes. Yeah.
There's no way I could have done 13 episodes of him hunting down gangsters.
Well, I said this to you a while ago. I said it wasn't going to be gangsters.
No.
I knew it was going to be more the military and what they did to him.
Right.
And what he was made to do for them.
So what's their hesitant in making these groups S.H.I.E.L.D.? Like, because Nuke and Jessica Jones could have so easily have been a former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Nuke would have made sense as a former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Frank makes more sense as a... military.
I get it's the Marines, but like it's I think like the S.H.I.E.L.D. like or Hydra like, you know, influence over the Marines would be interesting.
And
of course
like,
it hasn't come out yet, so that may be a thing.
They were able to allude to it, but I think that there's a lot of weirdness in the background, you know, contract wise with what you can mention and what you can't on certain things. Because, you know,
how tied to the MCU is it really?
Oh, it's, I think it's,
well, no, I know what you're saying, but
yeah, but I think it's just the whole idea of,
it's the ground level versus, you know, the cosmic.
There's just a lot of background legal crap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing as, and you know, we went to Disney World and at Star-Lord's at Disney World.
Right.
He's at Hollywood Studios. And at last year when we went to Hollywood Studios, Doctor Strange was there. There was a character, actor, playing Doctor Strange.
He was one of the ones at Universal.
That's where it got funny. He's never been at Universal.
Oh, okay.
But Doctor Strange is an Avenger.
Right.
From what I'm seeing, Disney parks cannot have Avengers.
Okay.
But they can have Guardians.
Fair enough, I guess.
Because at Epcot, yeah, they're changing the Universe of Energy to a Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Okay.
Incentive for you to go down to Disney World. And at.
All right, so let's finish up on Punisher real quick, yeah, and then we can get into, yeah, the Disney World stuff.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, legal-wise, yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff, and I understand.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I
it's
get
not,
it.
It's not,
I get it.
The thing with the purchase of Marvel is not as cut and dry as the purchase of Lucasfilm. Lucasfilm, right, it was like, boom, Indiana Jones, Star Wars, we got them.
Well, Lucasfilms never had to sell the rights to their characters to avoid bankruptcy.
Right.
So,
exactly.
I mean, that's what the difference is.
Right. And it's one of those things where they didn't have a production company,
right,
when they were, you know, giving the rights to 20th Century Fox, right, for the X-Men and,
right,
Fantastic,
right,
Four.
Yeah.
And when they were giving the rights to New Line for Blade and all that type of stuff. So it's one of those things where legally you can do things and other things you can't. It's the same with The Punisher. I mean,
yeah,
there were, what, three Punisher movies? Yes, three Punisher movies. The Dolph Lundgren, the Thomas Jane, and the
Ray Winston.
One. So it's,
which,
like,
is like, if you, I've
not seen that one.
Okay, so if you watch that one,
yeah,
that's the most Punisher,
right? That's
movie,
what everybody says.
But,
well, and Jigsaw's in it too. So,
and it's Dominic West from The Wire.
Yeah.
And he's so bad.
Yeah.
He literally ruins the movie.
Oh, okay.
Like, Ray Winston was a great, like, War Journal Punisher.
Right.
You know, he had the look. He's big.
Yeah.
You know, he's just, yeah, he was, he,
but
was
this,
good,
I mean, with John Bernthal, it's like, you know, he looks the role.
I don't see anyone else as the Punisher.
Right.
Other than John Bernthal right now.
Right.
And
it's cool in the preview you get Karen Page. So
yeah,
it's like, you know,
well,
yeah, you know, it's part
Deborah
of that.
Ann Wall is kind of like becoming the connective tissue. Like
her,
not on the level of Rosario Dawson,
right? Yeah,
but
her and Rosario, yeah, are the two that hold,
which is fine,
hold it together.
I want to see her become the Angel of the Night with,
yeah,
the radio show or a podcast or whatever it is,
right?
Like some way, like a vlog, like whatever modern way,
but
they
she's
tie
die.
It in.
She'll die in, well, the next Daredevil.
She has to die.
Yeah,
but they have to do that first,
right?
But yeah, no,
well, and
but,
it's like hopefully with this Punisher, maybe we get Bullseye is part of that military group that,
yeah,
he was with, and that's where we'll get the Bullseye and Daredevil thing, and you know, the guy who's the military commander probably will obviously become Jigsaw by the end of,
yeah,
it and all that type of stuff.
No, there's a they announced who Jigsaw is. It's a younger guy.
Oh,
it's
okay,
not that same,
well,
military commander. I just,
then it's probably somebody in the group,
yeah,
that he's part of. Yeah,
I think so. It would be cool.
It was
if,
cool to see Microchip.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I think that's his name. And that they're using that character, maybe changing the name and that, but using that part of the character, you know, it'll be interesting to see what it does.
I mean, if you want to just talk about John Bernthal for a second, that guy has just blown up. And he doesn't do any... He's like
but he hasn't, because
he's like the anti-Fassbender, right? If Michael Fassbender's in something at this point,
yeah,
I'm kind of like, oh, is this going to be good or not? Because he makes some poor decisions.
Well, it's all his management.
Berenthal, man, his management team,
yeah,
like his role in Baby Driver, perfect. His role in The Accountant, perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's in The Accountant also?
Oh, God.
Okay.
Jeez. And there's a huge... Have you not seen that yet?
I haven't watched it.
Dude,
yet.
It's on HBO. Watch it tonight.
Yeah, I know.
watch it. but... No, you know, he just shows that he's been showing up in all this stuff, like here and there, and it's
right,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Good God, man, you
were
amazing. Well,
even him showing up in The Wolf of Wall Street,
yeah,
was one of the,
well, yeah,
like funniest things in the whole movie.
Yeah.
So, because he can do humor as well as he can do action and all that type of stuff.
Well, I've told you, and I think I've told this story on the show before, is like Angel and I liked him ever since he was on, there was this CBS comedy that he was a part of, Sarah Gilbert and Jesse Taylor from Modern Family.
Right.
Whatever his middle name was.
He had the curly,
he had the real curly hair. He lived with his mom still. Right. He was hilarious. He was my favorite character on that show. Yeah. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, that show, it was never going past one season.
I think whatever management group he's got, and that I think, and him himself, he's shrewd.
Yeah.
When it comes to what he does. And I think, like, The Walking Dead, it was one of those things where it was just, you know, I'll do this. Yeah. It probably won't even last a season.
Yeah. Ben Barnes is playing Jigsaw.
Oh, Ben Barnes, Caspian.
Yeah.
Prince Caspian, which he was in Westworld.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. But I think, like, you know, and, you know, I met Bernthal, very subdued guy, and that, but I think he's a smart businessman as much as he is a smart actor. Yeah.
Like,
and that, because it's one of those things where he picks roles.
Yeah.
That are like, oh, hey, it's John Bernthal. But then you're like, I want to watch that movie because John Bernthal's in it.
I just watched Shot Caller the other night.
Right.
The Nico, Jamie Lannister movie.
Right.
And he's in that.
Yeah.
And it's like, and when he shows up, it's like, oh, it's on now. And then it's a completely different take on a character. And it's like, wow.
And that's the thing is he, it,
so that's why I have faith in the Punisher.
His training, his acting training is different because he went to Moscow and trained with like the Russian school. So I think his acting style is different because of that.
Hello, comrade.
And you get that. So
he's
you
a
know.
Spy. He's a Russian.
Spy for...
He's a sneaky Russian spy.
Okay. We weren't political. Okay.
Anyway. But no, I'm excited for Punisher and the fact that we have less than a month to wait.
Yeah,
it's great.
Well, and it'll be cold out, so it'll be one that'll be nice to be able to just sit in. It's not like Defenders where it's like, oh, it's nice outside.
Well, and keep in mind, that's the day Justice League comes out.
Yeah, well,
so you know. Don't think that's not an intentional move.
Yeah. They're all intentional moves at this point. The only thing that everybody stays away from is Star Wars because they already know that, like,
well,
you know,
Wonder Woman comes out the week before Episode 9, Wonder Woman 2.
Yeah,
is slated to, and it's
they'll
like,
change that.
They have to.
Yeah, they'll change that. They don't want to. They don't want to like get under that machine.
Yeah, because
that's all it is at this point. I mean,
well,
Star Wars is.
I think if it was like a week before, like Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yeah,
you're probably okay.
Yeah,
like I think Wonder Woman would probably end up doing better than that movie, but a you know Star Wars proper story.
Yeah,
you know, one of the episodes.
The episodes.
There's no way. I mean. There, if this movie could be the first movie, Episode 8 could be the first one to do $2 billion.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to be that good.
Okay.
Anyway. All right. So how was vacation? We haven't. Like,
oh, it was fine.
I tried to leave. I it's so funny. I left you alone as much as I could.
Right.
And the fact that for the first time in a long time, I've found figures that you were looking for.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, you must have been looking at your friend like, where? What is he doing? Where is he going?
Well, I was like in a hotel room going, okay. And then I'm like, well, we got to stop at a couple stores.
Yeah.
We're in Valdosta, Georgia. And I'm like, we got to stop at a couple stores. And literally stopped at a Walmart and found the other figures.
Right.
It's from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Monsters and Mayhem line is what it's called. And it's literally all the turtles are creatures like the vampire Dracula, the Frankenstein monsters, you know, they're
the wolf man,
although he's more a teenage werewolf.
He's like Michael J. Fox from Teen Wolf.
Well, no, I'm thinking like Michael
turtle.
Landon from
oh, yeah.
I Was a Teenage
Werewolf.
He looks like that. So like, you know, it was one of those things where, yeah, I you know, in this day and age, it's like technology. I shared stuff with you and that. I was like, yeah, I didn't try to post too much to Facebook or Instagram just because I'm like, I'll do that all when I get back.
Yeah.
And that, but it's like, you know, there was cool stuff.
You
want
to enjoy your trip.
Well, yeah,
right?
It's like
you don't want to
enjoy
just
the vacation, but I'm like,
for a signal.
You know, when you're sitting in a hotel room or, you know, you got back or you're sitting waiting for your food at a restaurant, it's like, you know, there's only so much you can talk about, right? And that, and it's like, you know, I'll show her stuff and like, you know, check this out or mm-hmm. whatever, and you know, it was fun.
So you got to do Avatar Land.
Yeah,
or what's
Pandora.
It called?
Pandora.
Pandora,
the world of Avatar.
Okay. Now, just, I've never seen Avatar.
Okay.
I never had any intention of seeing Avatar. Because
not a bad movie.
But
my
thoughts and feelings on James Cameron are very well documented from, you know, Monster Movie Month.
Right.
You know, he's not one of my favorites.
Right.
I don't put him on the level of Spielberg or Ridley Scott,
sure,
or even Chris Nolan.
Okay.
You know, I think he's, I mean, he's obviously popular and he's a good director,
right?
But I don't find him to be super groundbreaking, and I don't
Avatar
find him,
is not groundbreaking.
And
it's Dances with Wolves in Space,
right? And I don't find him to be, or
Kevin Costner should have had a credit.
Well, somebody else posted that it was like Fern Gully with guns.
See, and I've never seen Fern Gully.
I didn't even know what that
was. But you've seen Dances with Wolves.
Yeah. And I've seen Pocahontas.
And it's literally,
because it seems like it's a lot like Pocahontas, too. But
it's more Dances with Wolves.
Okay.
Like, literally to the point where the Na'vi girl has to talk to the white man who becomes a Na'vi.
Yeah.
And eventually they become a couple. And it's literally, I'm going, oh, that's Kevin Costner. That's Mary McDonnell. It's like, you know,
that's President Roslin right there.
Literally, there's like sequences where I'm like,
yeah,
that was the thing about seeing that in a theater mm-hmm. was, and it's the same thing as being there, is how immersive it was.
Right.
Now at Disney, there's a thing called Fast Pass.
Right.
And that, if you don't know this, if you've never been to Disney World, and if you ever go to Disney World, be patient. Be very patient. If you don't have a lot of patience, don't go to Disney World.
Fair enough.
Fast passes get you into the rides,
right,
so you don't have to stand in line for an hour and a half. So the whole week before we left, I kept trying to get a fast pass for the it's called Flight of Passage.
Mm-hmm.
You ride the Banshee that's in the movie.
Is that a ship?
No, it's an actual animal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a creature that they... The Na'vi have a, I guess you would call it an umbilical tentacle that's part of their biology,
mm-hmm.
and they can hook into the animals on their moon, and they become, you know, it's a symbiosis relationship.
It's like a mind meld?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. So I kept trying. Luckily, the last day before we left, I got a fast pass for this ride.
Oh, cool.
This one's the one where it's a 3-hour wait.
Ugh.
And that. So it's like, yeah,
even with the fast pass.
If it's over an hour, we don't even wait in line anymore.
Yeah.
We've been there enough that like we know what we want to ride. And that. So I had a fast pass for the day. Like the way that we plan our trip is we are in a park for a day.
Right.
So I try to get the fast passes for that park for that day. We had gotten a Na'vi River Journey, which is just like, you know, pretty much It's a Small World or something like that. That one, and this is advice, I wouldn't wait an hour in a line or more for that ride.
Okay.
If you can get a fast pass for it, get a fast pass for it, enjoy it, and that's it. Yeah. Don't wait in that line for that ride.
Hmm.
Wait in the line for the Flight of Passage.
Okay. Did you have a fast pass for Flight of Passage?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I had gotten it on a day where we were just going to be bouncing around different parks and that, because we do the park hopper. And literally we went into Animal Kingdom to ride that ride and left.
Oh, so it's in Animal. It's in Animal Kingdom.
Okay. Pandora. The thing with Animal Kingdom is obviously it's conservation. Mm-hmm. You know, they everything that you see and pretty much deal with, except for Expedition Everest, obviously, the roller coaster.
Is that Yeti still awesome?
It's still the same.
Okay.
It's still the same Yeti.
Because I haven't been there.
They put more fur on him.
Okay.
So he looks like even creepier, but it's so fast, unless you know where you're looking, you don't see it. Everything is about conservation in Animal Kingdom. Pandora and the Avatar movie is about
conservation
and
was it called? Unobtainium?
Unobtainium is the
like,
rock.
I mean, come on, how stupid is that?
Well,
unobtainium. You know, it's unobtainiable. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like one of those things where...
Way to go, James Cameron.
That worked out to the advantage of Disney and James Cameron. The thing about this park is I think it's the continuing story that's leading into the new movies.
Because there's, what, like four of them coming out?
Yeah. So in the movie, RDA gets kicked off the planet, but in this... this reality, or, you know, because it takes place after the movie, there's a group called Alpha Centauri Expeditions.
Okay.
And Alpha Centauri Expeditions gives you a chance to ride a Banshee. And that's where that whole Flight of Passage thing is. So you literally saddle in.
Okay.
And since, you know, I'm a stockier guy in that, I could fit into this thing.
Cool.
But they had to push that because the room moves.
Okay.
Like I said, it's kind of a cross between Soarin' and Star Tours.
Yeah.
So they have to lock you in so you don't fall out.
Ah.
And they locked me in. Well, when you're riding it, you can feel the Banshee breathing. And you can smell it.
Ew.
Yeah, it was like, it was really cool. And
What's it smell like?
It just smells like an animal, like a forest, you know, kind of smell like an animal, you know, like scent type thing. And I said to Elva, I said, I wonder if each one smells different. Like, you know, because it's a room of eight saddles.
Okay.
And then there's another room with eight more saddles. Like, they try to do it all in and I was like, I wonder if they set it up where each one smells different, too.
Hmm.
And she's like, I didn't really smell mine. I said, I smell mine because there's parts where you literally drop.
Okay.
So it's like the wind blowing in your face, and you can feel the wind blowing in your face.
Like
and
Soarin'.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, I'm like, I told her, I said, I could smell my Banshee. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, did you feel it breathing? I'm like, yeah, you could feel it breathing too. I'm like, that was what made it so cool.
I mean, that's
because it's in the 3D. You put the 3D glasses on.
Okay.
But it gives you more of a perspective of what Pandora looks like.
Yeah.
Than what you got in the movie. And we've seen the movie in 3D.
That's so why the Imagineers are so great.
Yeah. And I mean, between them and Cameron and, you know, what he's planning with these other movies, I'm like, those next movies might actually be better than the first one was.
Okay.
And it's very immersive. I mean, there's floating rocks, there's drum circles, you know, there's creature sounds, there's leftover remnants of the RDA buildings and vehicles. It really is very immersive into the movie. At night, when it starts to get dark, the bioluminescence stuff comes up, like, and lights up. Beautiful.
Cool.
Beautiful. And there's like the photo pass thing at Disney where you get your picture taken and they scan your badge or your card.
Uh-huh.
And they were telling us, like, we weren't going to stay there all night because we had dinner reservations.
Right.
But they were telling us, like, there's things that they do in the photos that are called magic moments or whatever. Yeah. And they said when you're there at night and they take your picture, there's stuff in the pictures. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Which park did you
It makes me want to watch the movie again. Like, I haven't watched the movie in probably 2 or 3 years. And I'm like, it makes me want to watch the movie again to just see if what I felt translates better in the movie now.
Kind of like you've been there. So,
yeah, I've been to Pandora now. So,
now, what park did you stay at till like 2 a.m. one day?
Oh, that was Magic Kingdom. Yeah. Which
Now, did they have all the Halloween stuff out?
They had the Halloween stuff out, and they were doing the party, the not so scary Halloween party, every other day that was we were there, except for that day. That day was for guests.
Okay.
Because it's an extra like $100 to go to that party. And you get to go get candy and get pictures with all the things, and you can go on the rides as many times as you want.
Yeah.
And we just decided it wasn't really worth it.
Right.
Because we weren't like, oh, we need to get all kinds of candy and everything.
Candy.
Yeah.
Candy.
And if we were going at Christmas time again, we really enjoyed the Christmas one last year. And it's like, we would do the Christmas one again.
Okay.
And that, I was pretty exhausted by the end of that.
I imagine. You don't really stay out that late very much.
Well, and it was one of those things where it's beneficial in the fact that the extra magic hours is what it is. The park closed at midnight.
Okay.
The extra magic hours were from midnight to 2 a.m., and that's for resort guests.
Right.
So we literally could go on a ride, get off, get right back on it.
Very cool.
And at some rides you can't.
Yeah.
Some rides are popular. So, Seven Dwarfs Mine Car ride, it was an hour and a half wait still during extra magic hours.
Right.
And I was just like, yeah, we've wrote it. So it's like, you know, not that big a deal. What was cool that day is Pirates of the Caribbean was down all day.
Right. Like, yeah, literally, you were complaining.
I had done a fast pass before we left, and I'm like, that's one of my favorite rides. And right. I'm like, it's down all day. I mean, they emailed her and everything and told her, you can use the fast pass on something else after a half hour. Mm-hmm. If it's down, you can go ride something else. And that. So we went over, ate dinner at Camp Wilderness at a place called Trails Inn, which is a really good buffet.
Cool.
If you like American, just American
food. I don't like food.
Well,
oh, American food.
American food.
I like that.
Yeah, like just good old American food. But when we got back over there, she checked the Disney app, the Disney right. Experience app, and it was still down. So we were there. It was like 10 o'clock at night, and she checked it again, and it came up.
Nice.
And it was like, oh, well, it'll still be open for magic hours. We literally got on it twice. We rode it twice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we rode Big Thunder Mountain during the day. I had gotten a fast pass for that. But if you go to that park and you don't know what you want to do experience-wise, ride Big Thunder Mountain at night. It's a totally different ride than riding it during the daytime.
It's the same thing at Disneyland.
It's literally like the way that it's lit and the way that, you know, the park, like how dark the park gets mm-hmm. in areas and that, it's really just fun.
Yeah. And I think like the way the decorative stuff is, you see the different stuff. But awesome, man.
So oh, I also cool. had my first time experience.
Yeah. Oh,
I was on a ride that went down and had to be evacuated.
Like when we did the Radiator Springs Racer.
So there's a ride, and it's a slow ride. It's just something we like to do. It's really cool. It's at Epcot. It's called Living with the Land.
Okay.
And it literally takes you through like what different lands are like for growing fruits and vegetables. Well, eventually you go into their greenhouse.
Cool.
Which is huge. I mean, you only get a little peek because if you look at the building, it's like goes back further. So it takes you through that and shows you that. Well, it kept stopping. And I'm like, okay, that's normal. That right. happens. People have to get off that, you know, are in wheelchairs and stuff like that. Well, then we started up toward the end of it and it just stops. Please, everybody, stay in your car. Yeah, first time ever I've been evacuated from a ride. And it was, you know, it was one of those things where we were so close to the exit that it wasn't like we got to walk through everything.
Oh.
But it was one of those things where our boat went backwards, and then they had to pull it up the track. And it was like, oh, that's a different experience.
Yeah.
And that, so.
Yeah, because when we were in Disneyland in Radiator
cars,
Springs, we were on the Radiator Springs Racer, and we had to walk out of it.
You've seen so many, like, you see those videos. Like, Pirates of the Caribbean is known to break down.
Right.
And that, we got stuck on Pirates of the Caribbean one time,
really,
but we've never been evacuated.
Story that's not fit for air to tell you.
I think it was one of those things where it's like, you've seen those, and now it's like, well, we got our first time experience of an evacuation.
That's awesome.
That's what they call it. And it's like, you know, you got to see, like I said, have patience.
Yeah.
Because we got to see some people that probably got kicked out of the park.
I had a blast when our ride broke down because we got to walk off of Radiator Springs, right? And it was like we were lost in the desert. And I have that great picture that I took of my family all walking up this hill.
Yep.
And the sun is real high in the sky. And we were like, we got stopped on one of the banks. So we were at like almost a 90-degree angle for like 5 minutes.
Right. The only thing missing from that picture was vultures.
Yeah, exactly. But at the time, I had friends who worked in social media at Disney.
Yeah.
And I had been posting. And like, I think in the span of maybe like a half hour, I probably posted like 15 pictures, and I got a text from one of them saying stop.
Yeah.
So
like, they it wasn't just a that message you don't back. Like right. videotape or right, anything right. when you're behind the scenes.
Yeah. But I mean, I got a
what's
good
the same thing is like, you know, there's the
ride.
Tour down there
that
you can go on where you go into the Utilidors underneath Magic Kingdom. They actually have the rule where nobody under 16 can go on that tour.
Okay.
Because it will ruin
Disneyland.
It'll ruin the whole imagination thing because people are walking around with half a suit on.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know, because they're in
Right.
They're in the break room.
Right.
I mean, yeah. You know, so it's like...
And they're not allowed to take their masks or heads or anything
yeah,
off.
Yeah, you literally can't do... Those people are great, too.
Yeah.
Because they're mimes.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, they have to... Like, we did one meal that was a character meal, and, like, it was her birthday.
Yeah.
And they came out, and they, like, you know, did everything, and, you know, took pictures with us and everything. But they signed a birthday card for her.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's literally...
That's the most impressive thing.
Yeah.
Is the fact that they can sign the names with those big hands.
And it's the way that they do it. And, you know, that they sign it as the character. I'm like, you know what? You guys are getting paid good and that. But
you're going to be a star, Goofy. You're going to be a star.
I still didn't go get my picture with Chewbacca or Kylo Ren.
No.
Those lines were still long. And I did get my picture with Star-Lord and Baby Groot.
Aww.
So... I'll eventually post that. We'll put that on the site or something.
Yeah, awesome. All right.
That guy was pretty good, too. Like
the Star-Lord?
The guy who was doing Star-Lord. His hair was a little weird.
Yeah.
But I was like, he's got the interaction down in that and, you know, had a pretty good time.
Very cool. So, all right. Well, cool. Well, I'm glad you're back.
Yeah.
So, we missed you last week for sure.
Wouldn't mind being down there all the time, but.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Then we'd have to do it over Skype and,
you know.
And we'd live. All right. Well, cool. Any last words?
No. I'm pretty good.
Awesome.
Oh, if anybody's got any questions about Disney or, you know, if you're thinking about going, if you got questions, you can just
hit us up on the Facebook page.
Yeah. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Cool.
I've been there. Total in my life, I've been to Disney and Epcot parks. 6 times, 7 times now. And I've been 4 times and then I went as a kid to Epcot and I figured out actually the year that I went.
Yeah.
From there's a cool thing in one of their buildings where it's got a timeline of Epcot. So I was able to figure out when we went, the summer we went.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember going to Magic Kingdom when I was a kid too. So, you know.
Yeah. I've done 4, 3 times at Disneyland, one time at Disney
that's
World.
That's kind of a goal at this point is to try and go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
So. We might travel America.
Well, actually, we should talk about that later, too. All right. Well, real quick before we go, special shout out to our Patreon subscriber, Daryl.
Yeah.
You're awesome, man. We love you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for making what we do possible. If you guys are interested in joining, it's patreon.com/infospodcast. There's a bunch of cool stuff. And the other thing is we have a shop up now. Go to the website. Just click on shop. It's a threadless artist shop. I'm going to do a special starting later this month where I'm going to reduce the prices on everything for like Christmas or whatever.
Oh, okay.
It's only going to be for a couple days, but we'll let you guys know. It won't be this month. It'll be November. So
yeah,
it's still middle of October. But anywho.
Yeah. Man, it feels like, I don't know.
I know, it's so weird. Well, it's because it's like 80 degrees outside still.
Well, and because I was in
like
90 degree weather last week, and I'm still acclimating back to
life.
Back to Ohio.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Glad to be back.
Thanks. The Infos Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.